Vanessa.
Good afternoon. We're lighting the candles.
Yes.
Ah, I said it.
What was that? Did you just gong us?
It sounds like an organ playing.
What the hell was that?
It should have been a gong, but I don't know about this here.
It's weird because when you play a sound when we're recording, it's kind of hard for me to hear, and then when I hear the playback, it's crystal clear.
Because it's speaking right into my speaker.
Yeah. Well, hello, gentlemen.
Hello. How goes
it? Good. I wanted to start out by doing a public thank you to Hokey for sending me like the best gift ever.
Oh yeah, you're welcome.
That was so late because I opened it and I went, oh that's cool. Oh, I've got Egon VHS, but I'm like, not like this. So it was, yeah.
That's right. It was exciting. New photos of me.
Yeah, I've got those too.
What? Tim?
Yeah, I just posted them.
Tim, we're gonna have to talk offline.
Sorry.
You don't remember that? Yeah, it was Tim. He put a P-cam at your bachelor party in Las Vegas. I don't know if you knew that.
That's funny. I don't ever remember any discomfort in my pee hole.
It's like a first.
It's really amazing because it's in HD too, so you can just see everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's my pee hole.
Yeah, that's why I bought it. That's why after this broadcast, I'm going to go get an HDTV because I just like the old, you know, digital, the old, you know, on tube ones just don't work anymore. So
it's like a first person.
No, thank you. First person what?
It's like a first person shooter game, except it's from a schmanz.
What would you call it? Call of Schwanz?
Call of Schwanz.
it would be like a really, really expert player could actually piss around the corner on his enemy.
Oh, wait, yeah, the Schwanz food delivery truck. It's Call of Schwanz.
Call of Schwanz.
That's a different game.
You mow over a couple guys that are just like, hey, can I get a catalog? Can I get a catalog?
Get a book.
Funk. That's 20 points.
You guys don't play those first game shooter games, do you? I'm
exclusively on smartphone games. That's the only time I have like really is and if there's not a lot of commitment, which is always good for me.
I eat on the toilet, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh,
I started playing the Simpsons game. Have you guys played the Simpsons game yet? The town one? I just started and I put it down. It looks kind of addictive.
It is addictive.
So.
No, I haven't had a chance to play that.
I've been looking at it, but I've not gotten it because everyone says it's horribly addictive.
Yeah, I started it, but it kind of takes a while to get it going. So I think maybe that would be a good thing. I'll read a book instead. I'll read a book. Read a book.
Yeah, you know, I remember, this is kind of off topic, but
okay.
Shitting on the toilet
what?
Playing games. I read some article where there was like medical people did their research and there was a report stating that there's a lot of pooticles on smartphone devices because people use that while going to the toilet. And I'm like, well, okay, if you're thinking for smartphone only, but I mean, you could like stretch that out, right? I mean, you probably have pooticles on your belt, on your pants. I mean, you wash your hands, but you still kind of gotta like, you know, move your shirt around, you know. So there's probably like pooticles on your shirt and your shorts right now, but it's the cell phone device that people freak out over.
Well, you've heard the thing about when you flush the toilet, like the particles and stuff. You're not supposed to keep your toothbrush like by the toilet or in the bathroom.
Yeah, because of the toilet backwash will shoot out of the bowl and it'll land on it.
Yeah, it could go some ridiculous fast. But there's a guy that I work with that he was always bringing his coffee into the bathroom. And it didn't have a lid on it. I was like, dude, you need to put a lid on that. You're getting shit particles in your coffee.
It's a bit nutty.
And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh, he's like, it's so far away. And I was like, no, dude, seriously, those urinals right there. And then I found a link, and I sent it to him, like, IM'd it to him, like, at work, and he was just totally disgusted. And to this day, he doesn't take his drink in there, so.
You guys completely missed the Austin Powers 2 reference, by the way. I know that everyone was longing and dying for.
Did we miss it?
The which one?
Yeah, it's a bit nutty. when there's, like, a shit sample and a coffee sample in the lab in Austin Powers 2, he's like, this coffee tastes like shit. But Austin, it is shit.
I forgot. It's been so long since I've seen that movie because, like, Mike Myers' movies have just been destroyed.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, The Love Guru and the last Austin. But Love Guru was. I've talked about that before.
Yeah.
That was the notorious movie where I snuck in to see it the second time because who I was watching it with was so disgusted and we left. And then I couldn't admit that later. I ended up paying for that movie twice because I had it because I can't stand it if I don't know what happens in a movie.
If we don't get to it, then some of the ex-people, like what I saw, to tie a bow around this, the ex-people from Mystery Science Theater 3000 could probably do a pretty good job on it, like the Riff Tracks guys and whatnot.
I'm going to see Riff Tracks tomorrow, actually.
They're doing Star Troopers in the theater.
I know.
I'm gonna skip out on it, but that should be a lot of fun.
I've been to, I think, like 3 or 4 Riff Tracks events, and it's so much fun to watch. I mean, I don't really like the crowd a lot because they're... I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess they should feel like these are my kind of people, but they're just kind of, I don't know, they're just kind of like dipshits.
Nerds, come on, nerds, I mean, come on. I explicitly took my brother, my little brother, when we were in high school, when we actually like did things together, and I took him to Mystery Science Theater 3000, the movie, in the movie theater. And there is this guy's dad and his kid, both, like, thick frame, before it was cool, glasses. And, like, the dad was, like, super bald. And they laughed like the guy from The Revenge of the Nerds at every joke of the movie. And I'm like, yep, I'm with my people. I was like, hell
those aren't my people, though. I don't like any group that will have me as a member, as Woody Allen used to say. It's like,
would you be part of any group that would want your member?
It depends. I mean, maybe some Romans or some gladiators, maybe.
some Greek philosophers and the little manboys they keep around.
I have to say that that's why I'm so glad that I'm friends with you guys, because Tim and I've had this a lot of times, like every sort of interest that we have, like we can't stand the group that's associated with it. I used to watch a ton of wrestling. I hated wrestling fans. I love comic books. I can't stand comic book people. They're so negative. It's like, you know, it's like I like Kevin Smith's movies and I like the Smodcast Network, but I can't stand the sycophants, and it just
I have a job and I end up eventually hating everybody at my job.
That's just kind of the part of it.
It happens everywhere I go. I think I'm an extroverted shut-in. I think that's what I am.
Extroverted shut-in.
That's funny because my friend Justin had said to me before when I knew that here and he was talking about what do you do this weekend? I'm like, oh, nothing. I just stayed in and didn't do anything. He goes, but you're the most outgoing guy. He goes, you're a people person. I'm like, that's where you're wrong. I have this bad reputation as a people person. It's just like, no, not really. I just don't hear. But, no, I'm really excited about seeing Riff Tracks. And I actually wanted to ask you guys, I was just thinking about this. With Riff Tracks, okay, so they're doing Starship Troopers. So did Starship Troopers, when it was made, like, I know they've done all those sequels, but the original Starship Troopers, isn't that... they don't take themselves too seriously. That's kind of tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? The whole film?
Especially,
or am I wrong?
Especially in the shower scene. Co-ed especially showers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wonder if they're going to show that, because, like, normally, like, on all the cinematic Titanic things and stuff, they don't show any nudity. But
well, that might be more of a Joel thing, because, like, those Rift Chat guys, they'll do audio tracks for, like, first run movies, so it could, depending on how bad it was, they might have an audio track for something during a nudie scene. They can't really block it out.
Yeah, that's true. But I just wonder, because, like, this will be in the theater. But yeah, I'm super excited. Report
back to us and let us know next time.
I will. And you know what I'm doing then the next week after that?
What's that?
And this is, I'm going to go see the Simon Pegg trilogy. Hopefully, which is, they're going to show Shaun of the Dead,
meet and greet.
Yeah,
you going to do the meet and greet?
No, it's just at the theater. They're not gonna. He's.
Oh God! But, now I'm an asshole because they did that at the Alamo Draft House at the same theater that I actually. To again, part two, put a big bow and wrap, come full circle. So I went and saw Joel Hodgson. He came down again. But we kind of, like, flipped it, right? Last time it was just the riffing myself stuff, and I had this awesome sit next to him, and I'm an awkward guy, kind of.
Timekeeper, yeah. All
right, so, like, this time around, I was like, let's go see The Master Pancake, which is it's pretty much, like, sprout up across every independent theater across the country now, where people just make fun of bad movies. And they're usually just improv people or bad actors. And so they're doing that. So we got tickets for that. And then, like, we noticed there's a meet and greet in between, right? So I was like, okay. There might be a chance he'd never come back to Austin. Let's do this, right? So I dropped a decent amount of money for a meet and greet. And we went and we met Joel and greeted him, right? So... got in line, and I figured it was a ripe opportunity, so I had a bunch of old Mystery Science Theater 3000 tapes, which, by the way, when I went in there, like, the other, like, nerds, the other people in my group that I'm not a part of, they had DVDs and Blu-rays and toys and shit, and I had the tapes, and, like, two separate people were like, hey, you got tapes, nice. I'm like, hell yeah! I was there in the beginning. Give me all your stuff.
Was it like in 16 Candles when they go, so you're kind of the king of the dipshits?
Yes. Well, to kind of further that notion, it was our turn. It was our turn to talk to him. I'm like, hey, I'm Mike. I saw you last time down here. I was the timekeeper. Remember me? And he's like, what? In Austin? When was it in Austin? It's like, yeah, last time, like 3 months ago. And you were time. He's like, I don't remember. And I'm like, okay. So he doesn't remember. Then I was just like, all right, just sign this, because it's all business. It was all business for him. He wasn't in the mood to really chat. Or at least this is like my first experience of, like, actually meeting a celebrity at a meet and greet, either to get something signed or something like that. And I've always kind of dreaded the moment. And I think it just fully solidified that kind of fear and awkwardness. It's like you want to talk to them and have a conversation and stuff like that. But, you know, you hit that one point and then it's just all business. How you doing, chicken hands?
Get your picture
taken to make your friends jealous, and then sign some of my shit so I could take back. So, I mean, it was really cool, but he was in and out of that place. It was, like, scheduled to be, like, an hour, but he was in and out in 15 minutes. He pretty much just, like, you know, shake hands, said hi, signed some stuff, ran through the line, and then took off to get ready for the movie. So it wasn't a terrible experience, because I never really liked the idea of, like, getting shit signed and stuff like that. But I figured if I was ever going to do it, it would be with Joel. So that's what I did, and I got four different movies signed, and I send one to you, John, and I send one to Tim.
Thank you.
And I cannot wait any longer. I wasn't going to wait until the Christmas episode to send that out. So I was like, I'm just going to send it out now. And by the way,
well, that
It helped.
That gift would have made us look. That gift would have made us look like assholes because we would have been doing the Christmas one, and we would have been giving each other these ridiculous gifts, and then you would have actually knocked it out of the park with that. And then we'd have been like, "Oh, I sent you shit, and you sent me something really thoughtful and nice. I'm a dick."
Let me further the post Catholic guilt and say that the idea kind of did spring into my head now I am publicly thanking you, John, for the Doctor Who poster that you sent my way that looked like it's definitely the fourth Doctor and like a technical color dream. And I want to especially thank you for the really tiny stamp looking things that you sent along with it, because they helped me get an idea of what the poster was all about.
Yeah, that poster was done by a guy I know in Sacramento named Mike Hampton. And he does this really, like, this interesting kind of thing. And I saw that, and I asked myself, "Oh, you're a Doctor Who fan?" He goes, "No, never watched in my life, but someone told me I should do this." So he did that good of a job in not being a fan. So that tells you about the guy. He did a zine that was really great, where it was he took the different signs, like the zodiac signs, and then found these really bizarre serial killer stories that went along with each sign, like the person was born in that month.
Oh, wow.
And, so he's on Facebook, so, like, of the 2 to 3 people that listen to this, it's Mike Hampton, and he's got his art stuff up.
Put it on the Gonzo Guys Facebook page.
I will. I'll put a link up.
I like how it's like a mix of like 70s psychedelia, but I mean, there's some computer generated swankiness in it with it. It's a good mix.
Pretty slick.
Yes. Yes. So now that the love fest is over,
okay.
Let's talk about the movie. Tim, you picked the movie. Why don't you roll into this one for us?
Let's see here. Let me roll
into it. I think we're about to have some audio goodness, aren't we?
Oh, sure. Let me just... That's not it. Where did it go?
Oh. Dude, if you don't find it soon, I'm just going to start singing it. And I have a horrible voice.
There we go. Here we go.
That ain't the way I taught ya. It's a good thing that I caught ya. Don't you know if you don't stop it, you go blind.
Not too bad. Tell me glass of ale. Can I stroke my soul? Can I feel my twiddly day? I wanna do it.
It kind of sounds like Charles Nelson Reilly.
That makes it better.
Doing a Mac Davis song. Ooh, I just made a Mac Davis reference. Ooh. I'm 160 years old, I guess.
Front row, here I go. You'll be blind by the time you count to 1, 2, 3. Can I do well?
Yeah,
when
he
ain't
that
same.
That's an amazing. I was telling Tim earlier this week, Hokey. I was saying that I don't really know how to do like a super positive, happy like review, because this movie was amazing. I loved it. So the movie's called "Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses," right, Tim? And you tell the story. And you found this movie, right?
Yeah, Tim. How did you birth this into our collective consciousness?
this particular item was found at the closing sale of a little store called Video Library.
You gotta be shitting me! You found that there?
That's where I got it.
Were you with me? Were you
yes,
there
I was with you.
Oh, I feel like a dipshit. No, I don't even remember that.
But it had been picked over pretty well, but I found this hanging around, and then I did some research into it, and this is the follow-up to the Dirty Joke movie, If You Don't Stop, You'll Go Blind, which is widely available. It's even on Netflix, the first one, but this one...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right. So here's another plug, then. There's another plug, but you can watch the first one on Netflix, which is probably really similar. And I guess you should explain that these are just basically like old, corny, Blanchnot, dirty jokes acted out.
This is it is a series of long series of performed dirty jokes,
and
acting to match. So
yeah. And it's like an ensemble. I mean, these people are in each of the movies, right?
There's a lot of people in it who I've never heard of, and according to a lot of things, don't look like they did a lot of other work. There is one person in it who did some work elsewhere.
Two.
Yeah.
You name the first one, and I'll follow it up the second.
The obvious one, and even given in the credits, they make it kind of obvious, is Robin Williams.
That's right.
Right.
Number two.
But there's actually three, I think, maybe. Ooh. But go ahead.
Number two, since we're playing Battleship IMDb style, number two is Ron Jeremy, of course.
Yep. it's just Promoter is the name I'm looking at right now, but what part was he in? What joke was he in?
I'm trying to think. I just watched this last night to refresh myself on it.
I watched it Saturday night and I was pretty drunk, so I don't remember.
I feel like I was a guy in this movie who looked like that.
Yeah, I guess when this would have been shot, he would have had the big mustache and everything still.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to watch it.
I kind of wanted to watch it again anyhow.
As long as you don't need glasses.
As long as you need glasses.
The funny thing is we do all wear glasses.
We do.
Hopefully with contacts. Yeah. My vision is getting worse. You guys are married, so your vision's fine. Mine's going to shit. Oh, man.
I have a little selection that I've queued up where there's just a little quick series of them when they're in the bar. And let's see, that's the credits. Let me just do a little. There we go. Perfect. All right, here, let me just give you a sample of the movie here. It's a quick
one.
Here we go.
Can only be broken just by a beautiful princess.
A little too far back.
And then I will return to my...
There we go. Play, damn it. My file's not cooperating.
I've got some bad news for you. It's about your wife.
Well, what about my wife?
Well, I have evidence here. She's been cheating on us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. This movie has a laugh track.
It does. Oh, yeah, and this fat guy with a little mustache.
Like about the young lady you drink over there.
Hey, Belle, do yourself a favor and leave that broad alone. She's a lesbian.
Lesbian? No kidding, huh?
That's... Oh, it jumps. Oh, that's no good.
Well, I'll finish it out. So, what part of Lesbania are you from?
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, so you just want to hear the third guy that it's... I wouldn't really say that he's famous.
The elusive third man.
The third man, and this is amazing. I didn't... Because he doesn't look the same, but it's the guy who's on the bus masturbating.
Yes.
Yep. Jeff Doucette. Have you looked at his IMDb page?
Yeah, it is amazing. Right,
it's incredible. He's in so many things, and I mean, and good things, not all crap. I mean, of course, there's the Mangler too, and 80s you know, show. But
he was additional voices in the Smurfs TV show.
Yeah,
he's voice acting.
He was in Splash.
Yep.
Yeah, it's crazy. He was in Batman, the TV series, in 1992. He was Gabe. And he did a voice. He was in Bobby's World, Darkwing Duck, Harry and the Hendersons, the TV series. He was in Elf!
Bobby's World. Ha! I kill me!
Night Court. He was in a couple episodes of Night Court. He was in Newhart. Flat Maxwell. And he was also in Sledgehammer, Hill Street Blues, Cagney and Lacey, A-Team. So
he shows up in a lot of stuff, that guy.
Weird Science.
Oh, yeah, and he was in The Best of Times, too. The Robin Williams movie with Kurt Russell when they're football players.
Yeah.
Which is a great, underappreciated comedy movie. I love that film. That's really good. But, yeah, he was the guy who his main role was... beating the bishop in the bus.
And he's just egregiously doing it for a punchline of, "Do you mind if I smoke?"
Yeah, that and this is one of the points I wanted to bring up, which made me kind of, I don't know if like ashamed is too strong of a word, but like I knew a lot of those jokes. I don't know what that says about my character.
We've talked extensively of the Blanche Knott joke, so obviously, we are well read in terms of dirty jokes.
Well, and I have the Blanche Knott dirty joke VHS, and this is a better representation of it than that. Because that one is just really bad stand-up, and I forgot how bad like stand-up was in the 80s, where it really was just like somebody just reading like joke after joke after joke. There was no, you know, segues. There was no, it was just like,
So you're saying this movie didn't have any of this kind of music?
I got here as quick as I
could.
What the hell are you doing? I told you to wave a piece of cheese in front of your wife's ass.
I will, Doc, I will. But first, I gotta get the cat out.
Okay, so here's one thing that I was gonna say too, which is really weird, is so there are all these people in here that like they probably didn't have a whole lot of work, and I watched the credits, and I was telling Tim, I was like, did you look at the names? The lady who had the cat is like an older lady, and I don't know how you paid her to have her bare butt hanging up in the air, like. And her name in the credits, it's all caps, it's Saba, S-A-B-A. And she never did anything else ever again. So, like, that's your only movie credits. Like,
gather around, grandchildren. You got to see Mommy's movie.
The amount of nudity was shocking, too.
I enjoyed that thoroughly.
But you know what somebody wrote on IMDb? It just says like the subject line is old stale jokes, and it says no real plot to this one, and it just kind of skewers it, and they call it stale and tedious. But then it says eye candy, 11 pairs of tits, 3 bushes, 3 asses.
What the hell was Joe Bob Briggs reviewing this movie?
Dr. Skin in his early days? I don't know. It's just kind of. But it's like he made a tally mark, so I just imagine the guy with a sticky note, like.
A real sticky note, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Whoa! It just every time somebody just revved the motorcycle past my house.
it wouldn't be an Nepidos without some environmental noises coming from John's side of the planet.
Yeah, I what I'm living now, it's like there's such a disparity of walking out of the house, taking a left turn and a right turn. Right turn, you're like in a really nice area, and left turn, it's not so good.
Well, let's talk about the main draw, which is Robin Williams, right? Yeah. So
I was gonna say we just did. We were talking about the nudity.
Wow. So like here is I'll just say it in this. So I'm perusing the IMDb reviews because I mean. Mm-hmm. My notes kind of suck. I don't think we should.
No, we don't have to tear through and do the this film stinks. Let's rapid fire the notes like the old Shanghai Surprise.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Yeah,
this was
a pleasant.
It's a lot of boobs and the Long Island Duck and all that other stuff. But I really like. Anyway,
I think you're so smart.
I forgot about the Long Island Duck. Sorry, I'm getting too loud. I was just said I wasn't going to try to be like too loud. That one just fucking killed me. Oh my god! Old man's ass.
I don't know. Can you tell me where I'm from?
Oh god! Yeah, I really can't recommend this film enough to people. Just that alone, there. Just, gold.
The the one that caught me by surprise was the lifeboat joke.
Name them.
That really wasn't a sex joke. That was more of a
racist. That was a racist.
Well, you couldn't make that film this day and age. There's sexism, the racism, perceived as homophobia. You know, it's. Yeah, people would be out. But I wish that they made movies like this rather than, you know, Fast and the Furious. But then again, I wish they made film strips for the Fast and the Furious.
Well, I mean, I was just thinking, could you even do a movie today where they have a guy, and the Lifeboat joke really stuck in my head. And it's set up like, you're like, okay, it's going to be some, you know, punny thing, goofy, dirty joke, whatever.
Right.
So the guy, they're on the lifeboat, they're going to die if somebody doesn't get out of the boat. The captain says to him, he says, all right, we're going to do this so it's fair to everybody. And they make it obvious that there's a Jewish guy in the boat, and there's a black guy in the boat, and there's a white guy.
Yeah.
And they don't tiptoe around those matters. So
yeah.
The guy says, okay, I'm going to ask you a question. And if you get the answer right, you can stay in the boat. And first of all, that's really subjective.
And that guy was a big old tub of shit. So I was like, why is he in charge?
I think he was supposed to be the captain because they put a hat on him. But
he had a hat, right?
Yes. So he goes ahead and says, oh, you know, worst sea disaster. And the guy's first guy says Titanic. He's oh, that's correct. And so he moves on to the next guy and he says, of course, this is the Jewish guy, and he's how many people died on the Titanic? And he gives him a really exact number, like 3,417. He's like, that's correct. And then as he goes to the third guy, he not only asks him a question, he pulls out a pistol and aims it at him.
Yeah.
And says, and this third guy happens to be the black guy, and says, name him.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
was that your favorite joke on the film?
It's the one that most surprised me because I was like, dirty joke.
Well, none of my favorites. In fact, probably some of the more unfunny ones were the ones with Robin Williams in them. I didn't think they were funny at all.
No, he was in two of them, and they weren't that good. I mean,
no. Oh, well, and like, okay, so
it was okay.
This review. That's what I'm looking at for this review. I got to read this. It's like, wow, they made a movie of this? And then in big, bold letters, this review may contain spoilers. Because you don't want to spoil a dirty joke movie. But it's a spoiler. If such a thing is possible. And listen, as a rabid Robin Williams fan, I felt it necessary to buy this film as it is his first on-screen appearance. Wow, I could not imagine a more mind-numbing movie. Essentially, the movie takes one back joke after another that your Uncle Artie would tell you after dinner and dramatizes them. Robin Williams plays the lawyer in a 30-second skit. I'm all for body humor, what? But this humor wasn't pleasantly vulgar or ribald. It was just mind-numbing. There are no redeeming qualities to this film. Other than Robin Williams fanatics like me, who simply have to own every piece of film.
Well, okay. This is what I have to say about this Pantloads review. He calls himself a rabid Robin Williams fan, and he played the lawyer. He also played a hillbilly with a toothache. So how rabid of a fan is this guy?
Watch the whole film.
So. That guy could, as my grandma used to say, he can blow it out his ass.
insult had plenty of ribald to it.
Yeah. Grandma was a little grizzled.
I found the movie quite bawdy.
Did you find it ribald? Ribald and
but my favorite
what's your favorite joke?
Yes, favorite joke.
Well, seeing as I was drunk, I'm gonna have to go through the notes.
Well,
I like the Lone Ranger and Tonto ones are pretty good. I like those.
Oh, okay, and I did some research on those guys because when I watched the credits, it said that those two guys, it said special guest Roger and Roger, and so those two guys are it's Roger Peltz and Roger Bear, BEHR.
Oh, I was going to say, was that an actual Indian?
And so those those two guys, yeah, no hack jokes here. No. They were basically like, they were friends like with Rich Little, and they were really in, they were like imitators. And I found this old review, it says famousinterview.com. It was Roger and Roger, and it starts out, it says, two of the zaniest guys in the business of making people laugh.
That's a blast.
And it says, material is never a problem since they can draw from some 100 celebrity impressions.
Oh, God.
And then, so it's basically just them, they left their hometown of Charlotte, North Carolina, which I'm sure is a comedy hotbed. And they went to Los Angeles. But what my favorite, one of my favorite lines is the question, the last question. It's a really short interview, and it says, "Does it ever make you sad when you do character impressions of someone like Freddie Prinze or Jim Croce?" How old is this goddamn interview?
Freddie Prinze or Jim Croce.
Those are both really relevant, you know, people. I'm just like, why? Somebody had to transcribe this to the internet. And this had a, and it's Gary James, all rights reserved. So, I mean, like, Gary was just sitting on this hot interview, just waiting to put it online someday. This is what the internet was invented for, was for Roger and Roger interviews about Freddie Prinze and fucking Croce.
You know, one thing Roger and Roger had going for them in their performances?
Subtle. But they did what?
Their performances were just so subtle. They weren't over the top at all. Especially the performance of the Indian.
it was not unlike Johnny Depp's most recent performance in The Lone Ranger himself.
Did you guys didn't go see that movie, did you?
No.
The new Lone Ranger. Yeah, okay. I heard it tanked really badly.
Good. You know, it was supposed to come out last year, and they pushed it to this year. So, I mean, I think everybody knew it was a piece of turd.
What did they think it was? They think it was like wine? Did they think the shit was going to age? It was going to be better in a year?
Some movies, piece of shit. Some movies where they know it's going to be a turd, they kind of just, like, push back another year. It's like, oh, we're not going to come out with this this year.
That's why the movie will come out. The actor looks like significantly younger than he should.
Yeah, and they're like, we'll try to squeeze this in when there's not that much competition. And then try to advertise the fuck out of it.
I wish, you know, if I had like $1 billion, I'd make a whole bunch of these kind of movies. I would just produce dirty joke movies and just lose my ass, like, but lose my ass gleefully in it. And,
yeah.
I would just like do a Lone Ranger movie and do it with Roger and Roger and make it like 6 hours. Just to be a total dude.
I thought the Roger playing the Indian, I thought he kind of looked like Charlie Day.
He did.
I knew
Oh, I did see Pacific Rim. Did I already talk about that?
No, I don't know if we. I skipped it.
Charlie Day is in it, and he pretty much plays
Charlie Day. From
Philadelphia. So.
Yeah, but is that tongue in cheek though? This whole Pacific Rim thing—it's supposed to be kind of bad, right?
No, it's fucking awesome, is what it is. I don't know if people.
Oh no, but.
There isn't a. The cool thing about that movie, just as a quick aside, is that it sets up this world. It does world building, like for the first couple minutes, and then it goes through all that shit, and it's like. It's very refreshing to see a movie where, like, the disaster's already happened and it's, like, 10 years later. As opposed to, like, every other kind of movie where it's, like, they're building up to the disaster. This one, before even the opening credits roll, spoiler alert, they're like, yeah, the monsters came, they wrecked some shit up, and then we built some robots and fighting them, and then it's, like, 6 years later. So it's like, okay, cool. So there's already this kind of, like, world that exists already, and it's a different kind of conflict coming through about it, which I thought was really cool. And, I mean, it's a monster, it's a fighting big monster robot movie. It fills a gap sorely needed and will get filled again next year when Godzilla comes out, where we just have giant monsters attacking cities and stuff, because those are cool.
Yeah. Well, and I told you, I don't know if I said this in the one podcast, but I did go to the Godzilla Fest, and I got to see this clip of this unmade, it's unfinished movie, and it was the werewolf versus Godzilla, where there was like a. But they had clips of this movie, and it's so old, and like they haven't had the funding to finish it. But it was basically there's a werewolf that's going around Tokyo murdering people, and then somehow like the cops end up chasing, and the werewolf ends up getting into some toxic stuff, and then it becomes giant, and it turns white. So it's just a white albino werewolf fighting a giant Godzilla, which is like that's pretty much about the best you could get in cinema. Unless you had a giant Dracula. If you had a giant Dracula in there too, it would be like this is the best film ever made, probably. And Batman. And the giant
And Batman.
And Batman. Well, apparently it makes anything better. It's like you don't a giant Batman in there. But I've been wondering about Pacific Rim, but I think that's definitely a red boxer, I think, for me. I'm just kinda like, yeah, I'll get around to it. But anyhow, so I have to tell you which one was my favorite. I think Kim knows this.
I'm going to be a douche and kind of hijack just the one thing that was my favorite was the ugliest woman alive joke.
that one was I told Tim I love that old man too because he reminded me of like all of my grandpa's friends when I was a kid
I liked the fat guy because he was generic comedic fat guy and I was like I like those guys
yeah with the mustache
yeah
I liked him well the fact that like when he was wearing his towel at the beach and like they wore it all they walked all the way back but and the old man's name in the credits is Moose. he's like Moose, and he's probably his best friend is Knuckles, and yeah, you know, they probably all shoot pole.
It's like porno.
It's probably long ago, but yeah, those guys are yeah. But my favorite, I think it's my favorite one. It's not that hilarious. It was just a delivery. But it was the little kind of tiny Bob Newhart looking guy coming into the Western town and asking who painted his horse's balls yellow. The joke, like I think I knew the punchline, but it was just like that one. I just could not stop laughing. I don't know if it was one of those perfect moments where it just catches you just right. But I loved that film. I thought it was good, and it didn't pull anything. Like that, you know what I mean? There was no like, it was just raw, which I just thought was just yeah. I guess like, you couldn't do that movie these days. You absolutely could not do it. But I was like, I don't even know what even to talk about almost because it was good. I don't know how to be positive. I guess someone missed it.
I prepared a little something, and it's nothing fancy. And it won't ruin anything if you haven't seen the movie. But I wrote down the last line from every joke. It's not necessarily a punchline, but the last thing.
Ooh.
And I wrote them all down from start to finish.
Oh.
Wow.
And
in other news, you're now divorced.
I'm just sitting there all night with her.
Your wife is leaving you because you spent 6 hours.
I've got one of those video machines like they use in football where they can back it up and go forward real precisely. No, I didn't quite get that. But it's just the last line, so it's not always like the full punchline. It's just the last line.
Right. This is going to be like a really cool like collage art project, though, right? So hit it.
Let me just—I'll zip through these best I can. Oddly enough, toward the end, my handwriting got a little scratchy.
Could you need glasses?
Do I need glasses? Okay, so here we go. And you'll know the joke probably from the part of it, but we'll just go through. That a boy, Shorty. First coat is dry. Jesus Christ, doesn't anybody like to fuck anymore? I think the pricks are about the same size. If it was a visual joke, I should note this is a visual joke. I just kind of wrote down what it was. Guy with a barrel goes into the IRS, comes out with no barrel, naked.
That was amazing. Tim, we were talking about like all the men in the film were just not attractive. And what was the deal with any sort of like naked man had horrible white tan lines? Like they were really tan, but they just had these white ass. I'm not saying my ass isn't white, but god damn.
There were a lot of odd-looking people in this movie.
Yeah, and there's some oddly hot-looking women, I have to say, too.
and lots of bush.
Yeah, the grooming was not...
There was an inordinately high amount of that.
It's not not as styled as it was today.
Let's see here. Let me pick this up at... Honey, it's for you. Doctor says you're going to die, Kemosabe. Fuck Ella Fitzgerald. I had to call you, didn't I? Some guy puts his dick in a little box because it's broken. You damn fool, you put in a chiclet. Well, kid, your mom's been spoiled. Just the first time, baby? It's in my daughter's handwriting.
Just the first time with the gorilla. Okay, sorry.
Wyatt Earp's going to stick that shotgun up your ass.
That's the butter. Yeah, that's the butter. Take the shotgun and put it in the bear. But that part, that look on that guy's face, because basically the joke was, like, the guy is just shooting him at this guy playing the piano to stop shooting the piano. And he goes, how can I get him to stop playing the piano? And he says, go take your shotgun to the general store and put it in butter. And he says, why? And he says, because when he's done playing, Wyatt Earp is going to shove that shotgun up your ass. And so Wyatt Earp's look on his face, he just looks over his shoulder and just winks and gives him the okay.
He gives him like a thumbs up or something, right?
Yeah. And that just hit me over the moon. I was just about to piss my pants. I had that little look. It was just genius. It was like it came at a perfect time. Like when I finished the movie, I was in a bad mood, and I wasn't after the movie. But anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
And proceeding. Say, princess, kisses don't seem to be doing the trick. How about a blowjob? You're kidding. You're kidding. I married one. Drunker. Have evidence she has been cheating on us. What part of Lesbia are you from? If he doesn't, this is the guy on the bus. I just wrote, if he doesn't stop, he'll go blind. They cut away from that joke and come back to it. Fuck you, spelled out by college sweaters.
Oh, I remember that. That was
yeah.
That was kind of like, Doc.
So tacky.
Doc, I don't get up till 9 a.m.
Oh, I knew that joke. I knew that joke, actually.
There's two pork chops and a lobster ahead of you, sir.
should we need to stop and explain any of these? Like,
no, let's just like, these and we'll come back.
I think you should jump in whenever you want. Well,
if one strikes you, we'll stop. Ready? You want to explain the lobsters and the pork chops?
I love hacky jokes. I could tell like an hour of straight hacky jokes probably. But no, the lady says that the steak is no good, and they're at this nice restaurant. He goes, waiter, he goes, this steak is terrible. Take it back to the kitchen and shove it up the chef's ass. And he says, I'm sorry, sir. What is it, a lobster and what?
There's two pork chops and a lobster ahead of you, sir.
It reminds me of the JoJo Dancer Your Life is Calling, which is like a biography of Richard Pryor. He used to tell this joke like when he first started doing stand-up, where he says that this waiter brings out a bowl of soup to him, and his thumb is in the soup. And he says, excuse me, can you get your thumb out of my soup? And he goes, and he goes, oh, well, he goes, I can't do that. He goes, my thumb will get cold. And he goes, well, why don't you take your thumb and just stick it up your ass? And he said, well, what do you think I was doing back at the kitchen? That's Richard Pryor's fault. Isn't it amazing how you go from that to, like, the genius that he became? Like, sticking your thumb up your ass jokes? Anyhow. Proceed. I keep derailing this.
We leave off at the lamb chop and lobster joke, and we go to now broken rubber, don't you understand? can you repeat that again? You have good ears. It's me.
What?
I should explain. That is where the delivery man drops off flowers at the Kit Kat Club. And the woman answers the door and she's naked, and he doesn't realize at first because he's got a big package, so he turns around and she's there, and he's kind of like ogling. It's the same guy from the bus, mind you.
Oh, yeah.
He's big in the face, and then He's going to sign. She's signing the package. She's like, "You need to shut that door." She's like, "I think I hear somebody coming." He's like, "You have good ears. It's me."
Oh God.
I forgot about that, but that was helpful.
That was kind of one of my high marked ones. So let's put a little star on
that. Yeah, that's definitely. There's so many.
This one I cannot remember the joke on, but this is the line. It isn't exactly what I had in mind. I thought it was you until he started a second time.
Oh, that is amazing. I remember that one because she was like, yeah. I was like, oh, Grace, it's in my notes where she was yelling rape.
She was yelling
right,
at me,
right.
And the guy comes in, he said, he has away with me two times. And he said, two times? Why didn't you say anything the first time? She's like, well, the first time I thought it was you. When he started the second time, I got scared.
The second time, she basically knew it wasn't him.
And that's what it was. It wasn't the gong, it was that drum, that boing. That's what it was. Because at the end of every joke, it was boing, and then
You know how good this movie was? This movie was so good that I didn't even mind the laugh track.
All right.
No, it's an appropriate laugh track.
I don't like laugh tracks in movies. I don't.
I don't like it either, but I forgot it was there. God, I'm making this sound like this is Lawrence of fucking Arabia. I was so involved in the film. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
If that was a complete title, Lawrence of fucking Arabia, then yes, correct.
I don't know why I've got such a potty mouth. I need to cut. No good.
Do you need glasses yet?
Let's
see. Oh, man.
Ed Mind. I thought it was you till the same time. Bowels have to move. Teepee full of shit.
Yeah, that was my. I know that
one.
Joke.
That was my second favorite one.
I'll put a star by that one.
Bowels no move.
Move your hand to the left. You're jacking off my popsicle.
Yeah, man, that was a mess.
Honey, I don't want to fuck. I just want you to meet somebody.
That's your favorite one, Oak.
That's our favorite, the ugly joke. Let's see. You're so smart. You tell me where I came from.
You're getting all excited. Settle down, Tim.
It's a long
another. It was next to another line. You're so smart. You tell me, and then I was followed by, I got one right here. Kind of long. That's when the guy was talking about they were like in a barber shop and they were talking about pubic hair or something. And the guy goes,
"Oh yeah, yeah, you cut women's hair," and then he goes, "I've got this long one right here," and he points at his teeth. Yeah,
oh, God.
Yeah, there probably would be too. From that's kind of a job hazard in some of that lack of grooming that we saw in that one.
Then there's a little more tame one.
Boom.
You might try a different swing. Hey, for the past 10 minutes, you've been eating grass.
What's awesome is that people who are listening to this could probably get the joke just from the punchline itself.
There's some of them. That's why I didn't do the punchline, because if we just so they're not all completely ripped.
But we want to stress the fact that everyone has to see this movie.
You should still watch it.
It's a visual
yeah. It's a visual masterpiece as well as audio.
Especially boobs.
The woman naked with a gorilla. So that's
what it was. I think that lady might have had a C-section scar though.
Oh, that's even hotter. Wait.
You mean like a chimp section then, right?
Oh, where's my button?
Wing?
Let's see. After I hit my golf ball, it was the first time my teeth didn't hurt in years. It was kind of a convoluted joke. Pardon me. That was the one about the credit dentist, which is a whole concept I wasn't aware existed.
Is that the one with Robin Williams?
No, there's a guy who's interviewing this guy, and he said, this is about, you know, Dr. Smith, the credit dentist, and he takes pensioners. And I'm like, God, this movie's a little bit dated. But I never heard of, like, the term a credit dentist. I understand you can get credit at a dentist, but, like, you don't see that advertised now. It's like, come to Dr. Smith, the credit dentist.
Yeah. I have no idea what that is. But then again, they had a televised news reporter at a divorce court proceeding. So
that reminded me a little bit of a Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yes, it did. Oh, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah. Let's see. Here we got. Pardon me. Do you mind if I smoke this with the guy on the bus? You wear a jockstrap, don't you?
That one.
I'm going to do this. This is going to be awful. I might actually try to do this in the voice because this is what you're dealing with. What vicious lie? What schmuck tell you that? Think about that one for a minute.
Tonto.
No, that was not. That was two white people playing Chinese people dressed like Japanese people.
Oh, gosh. That's another thing you couldn't really do. I mean, you would probably get some heat for that now.
It was rough. Let's see. What do you expect me to hang out there? Which I kind of like that joke. This is the Rob Wing joke. I actually have that queued up.
What do you think outside your office for? Schmuck, what do you expect me to hang out there?
I'm going to have
to... It's either a drum or a slide whistle.
I'm going to get my little sound capture thing out. I'm getting that slide whistle and that ding. Okay, let's see here. What did you expect me to hang out there? Oh, this was one of my favorites. There's a good build up for it. When the old 515 pulls out, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
there's a lot of sound in that joke. That was a good. It was a good time.
That one was a genius setup. I have to say that one, like the whole idea of that it's people. What sickness were they? I don't remember what germs they were.
They just said they were germs. They just said that they got sick. They avoided the topic pretty well.
That's yeah, but...
not me. I'm going to the brain where they'll never get me. Never. Not me, pal. I'm going to hide out in the lungs. That's the safest place. The penicillin will never touch me there.
I'm hiding out in the liver. Ain't going to let no antibiotics scare me.
I don't know about you guys, but when the old 515 pulls out of here tonight... I'm
going to
be on it.
Now, there's more to the joke. Well, we should probably tell them what that joke
is. Well,
joke,
it ties into, like, the very last Aunt and Gloria story, too, a little bit.
The same little, probably the same person. But basically, there's a couple that have sex at 5:15 on the dot every day. One of them gets sick, then they get back from the hospital, and they start doing it again. And the germs are talking about how they're going to avoid being killed. And apparently the last right out in the guy's dong. So,
yes, penis.
Let's see. I did. You start back on Monday.
Yeah. Fuck the boss.
So good. You're right, pal. It does.
Have we gotten past the point where they break the fourth wall and talk about the prequel, the earlier movie?
Oh no, we're nearly to that spot where they talk about. You're right, pal. It does. Coffee, help yourself to donuts.
Oh yeah, that joke actually a long time ago. Like my dad told me a joke, and if I can diverge from your thing really quickly, I'll try to make it quick. My dad had told me a joke when he was a reporter, and they were covering a case, and they were at a greasy diner, and this guy, like, someone made the joke about this guy, like, the cook was really dirty and nasty, and someone goes, oh, you know how he makes those hamburger patties? He takes the hamburger, and he puts it in his arm, and he squishes it down in his armpit, and that's how he makes the patties. And then my dad's friend said, without missing a beat, he goes, well, you should see how he makes the donuts. And then so that then years later, like when I worked at the library, they were talking about this story that happened, and there was this guy who worked like at a Dillon's, like a grocery. And they had all the frozen chickens and everything and all the different turkeys and stuff like in the back. And they caught this guy in video camera peeing on all the chickens and the poultry.
Oh.
And then someone goes,
I thought he was...
someone goes, oh my God, could you imagine? They're like, could you imagine that? They're like, he just peed all over the chicken. I'm like, well, you definitely wouldn't want to eat the jerk chicken from there either. So I was, yeah, 20 years later, I get my own Zeno.
You get your own boing.
You definitely don't want to try the jerk chicken in here. Boing. Boing.
Let's see here. Coffee, help yourself with the donuts. First, I have to get the cat out.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Did anybody else find that old lady had kind of a nice hiney?
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was not bad because they were trying to make him look like a dowdy old housewife. And that was Saba, by the way.
Saba.
It was Saba.
Saba.
Saba Tushy.
Let's see.
Saba Tush.
Saba
Tush. Saba Tush.
Saba Tush. Saba Tush. this one is eating my popcorn. Goshly, don't you have anything smaller? and then there's this was a visual, there's a jury, and I just said, well, the why you jury scene. Why you? And then this lady hits him with her purse.
The Robin Williams one?
Yeah, no, it was a different court scene. It's where the lady said that the guy... this is her mom's friend. He took her upstairs. And he said this awful thing to her, and so she writes it on a card and gives it to the judge.
Oh yeah.
That was the worst joke out of all of them. Was the joke, but it was funny because the note said, "I'm going to screw you until your butt falls."
Well, it said that, and the other thing was like she writes it, but it's like perfectly typed. Like it's tight. It's
yeah. Oh, man, if someone ever gave me a note like that, when I was a woman, I would probably just propose right there. Screw you to your
bus. The jury woman's asleep, and the guy from the bus again pops up. He hands her the note. He wakes her up. She looks at the note, and then immediately just wilds him with his purse because you know. Let's see here. Here's anything smaller? Why you jury scene? Between the two of us, we fucked them all.
A very sarcastic tone. I want to say that he said that as well.
Yes. No, we fucked them all. You're gonna do it again, aren't you? Let's see. I just put Richardson named them, which is the lifeboat joke that we've touched on. His name was Richardson, the black guy. So anyway, the Jewish guy had a very Jewish name. Let's see here. My sister does, and she owns both of those.
Oh, yeah. That was a great joke, too. Because the guy said, I wish I could rob enough banks for that Cadillac. And then the other guy says, I wish I gambled enough to have that, I don't know what other car it was. And then the younger kid says, I wish I could give guys really good blowjobs. And he says, what? And he goes, it's because my sister does it. She owns both of those cars. Oh, God. That's such an awful joke. Oh, this episode, this episode should just be called Hack.
Then there's a scene, there's a movie, this is another visual, and then the guy comes out to film a scene in the movie, and he says, take 86, and he closes the clapper on the guy's dick.
Yeah.
That was kind of straight to the punchline joke. Then I just wrote, I don't know this joke at all. I can't remember it. Oh, yeah, I do. Hello, mama. You guys remember that joke?
What did he say? Hey, mama?
Hello, mama. It's a woman, and she needs to radio her.
Oh, yeah. The Soviet Union, when he says, he unzips and takes his day and says, you know what to do, and she starts talking into it. She's supposed to be talking over the airwaves.
Yeah. Well, all right. This was, I kind of like this one. If a guy can fuck, he can fly.
Yeah. The old lady threw the man out the window.
And then finally, the big climactic one. Pun intended. Go back. It's just a blowjob.
Yes. Yeah. That one. That was a very long. That was a very long joke. They set it up pretty well.
But it was still pretty. But I saw that one coming, though.
No pun intended, of course.
Oh, yuck! I just pun. Oh, God. That's a smelly pun. It smells like bleach.
I also noticed in the credits that it looks like they had the outtakes kind of mixed in there. They didn't have the audio, but you could tell people were cracking up at the scene where they weren't supposed to.
Right.
There was one scene with the guy in the bus overdoing his, like, just beating off, and the lady in front of him...
The people laughing.
And she just starts laughing.
And then Iron Man shows up out of nowhere, telling them they're going to be a part of the Avengers.
that was the after credits.
Oh yeah, that's right.
The strange
they're eating Sharma.
The strange thing is, at the very very end, they pushed another movie that I have yet. I don't think I found it yet. Oh, does anybody know if it exists?
We gotta find it.
It's called "It Only Hurts When I Bend It." It's third in the trilogy of "If You Don't Stop, You'll Go Blind." The sequel, "Can I Do It Till I Need Glasses?" This fine film, and then a third one, which I feel like I've hunted around before and cannot find it. It's called "It Only Hurts When I Bend It."
Maybe it was like it's going to be. Maybe it was like
a planned film, and
like Hitchhiker's World Part 3.
Well, I got the impression.
Jews in space.
When you watch the credits at the start had clips that weren't in the movie.
That's because they were from "If You Don't Stop, You'll Go Blind."
Okay. So we need to find that third one. That's like that's the Holy Grail.
I don't think it exists.
Yeah, you know,
it's gotta exist somewhere.
You know, John, with all that money you got off of that Nigerian lady, you know, you might be able to employ some investigators to go find that one out.
Yeah. when I get my Bill Gates money, I'm going to hire people.
Or you're going to be like, fuck it. Give me that screenplay. I'm filming it right now.
I don't really think a screenplay exists. They probably just open a book on set and just start, like highlight a couple jokes in a Blanche Knott book and then build sets around it. Or do location scouting. Like... I wish that they still made movies like this.
That's the thing that was like that made me think about when I watched it. Right, I was kind of thinking the same way. How come we don't see those kind of movies anymore?
Yeah, they're just fun. They don't take themselves seriously, and they don't give a shit about like offending people. And you're just telling jokes. And it's just like that's like the best comedy that I've seen in a while. Like I went and saw Grown Ups 2, and it was terrible.
Why'd you see that movie?
I mean, I liked the first one. I didn't love it, but it was just a Saturday, and I think I was just like, go see a movie. And I went and saw Grown Ups 2. This is a better movie than Grown Ups 2, and more people should watch this film. That sets the tagline.
It's an Adam Sandler movie, though. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm not gonna jam you too hard.
So I have a joke. I have a joke, like one that I like to tell. It's a really hack joke, but in the spirit, if I have Bill Gates money, this would be one of my jokes that I would film. You guys want to hear it?
Fire when ready.
Okay. So there's this guy, and he's after work, his buddy talks him into going and having a drink. So they're sitting there, and he has one drink, and he says, "Look, I gotta go, because my wife's gonna kill me. I came home really shit-faced drunk last week, and she's pissed." And he goes, no, come on, we just closed the big deal, let's just keep drinking. He goes, okay, I'll have a couple more, then I gotta go. So he just gets drunker and drunker and drunker, and it's like, oh God, I gotta go home, my wife's gonna kill me, it's really late. And the guy goes, nah, I have a few more. And the guy goes, you know what, you're right. So he has a couple more drinks, and then he gets sick, and he throws up all over his suit. And he goes, oh my God, he goes, my wife's gonna kill me, I'm gonna come home drunk, I've got puke all over me, she's gonna kill me. And his friend goes, no, I got this planned out. He goes, this is what you're going to do. He goes, you're going to take $20, you're going to put it in your suit pocket, and you're going to tell your wife that you didn't throw up in yourself, some drunk at the bar did. And he's like, that's genius. He's like, yeah, and then that $20 he gave you, it's for dry cleaning. And he felt so bad about throwing up on you. He's like, that's a great idea, let's have another drink. So he keeps drinking. And finally he staggers and gets home. He's totally shit-faced. He's covered in puke. And he gets up to the steps, and his wife is waiting for him. And his wife looks at him. She says, you're disgusting. You got drunk last week, and now look at you. You're ridiculous. She's like, oh, you threw up on yourself. You're pathetic. And he goes, no, honey, wait.
I didn't throw up on myself. Some guy who was drunk at the bar did, and he put $20 in my pocket to pay for the dry cleaning. She goes, what? And she reaches in. She takes out some money. She looks at it, and she goes, there's $40 in here. And he goes, oh, yeah, and he shit in my pants, too.
Wow, I'd love to see that in a sketch comedy movie, actually. Hey, so I most of the offbeat jokes I could tell would probably have the internet oust me and then hang me, so
stay away from those.
But I do have one that's really quick and irreverent, so I'll tell you this joke.
Okay. So
how do you stop a clown from laughing?
How do you stop a cold from what?
No, how do you stop a clown from laughing?
Oh, I don't know.
You throw a hatchet in his face.
That was really long.
Well, he had to fill time because my joke was so short.
No, it's a joke. All right, so I gotta think of a hacky joke that I like that I've known for a long time. All right, so this might have worked in this movie. I don't know if it would translate well in this movie. So there's a guy and he's having trouble performing in the bedroom, and so he goes to the doctor and he says, "Give me some pills. I need to perform in the bedroom." He says, "Okay, well, you can take this pill, but only you only take one of them." And he said, "And you're good to go for the night." And so he goes home, he takes one wonderful night with the wife, and he says, all right, that's great. So the next night, it's the weekend, he's like, I'm going to take two. And it's just nuts. It's crazy weekend. Everything's great. So it gets around the holiday weekend. He's like, you know what, I'm going to take a whole handful of these things. You know, what's the worst that could happen? A couple days later, the police get a phone call from the little kid, and they said, what's going on? My dad's having sex with everything. He slept with my mom. He slept with me, and now he's chasing the dog down the street.
Because I remember the punchline being the guy. It was like, well, my mom's dead. My sister's pregnant. and something like and something with the animals and something. It was really horrible.
I've heard that version and the one I have, which is slightly less abrasive.
And one of the punchlines I know. I'm just going to tell the punchline. It's like, I don't know. I was too busy masturbating.
Yeah, I'll tell you one really quick one, I would say leave on a high note, but it's not. It's a
hold on. Before you do that, you touched on something earlier. I just wanted to go over really quick.
Okay.
And that's the fact that we don't see those joke movies anymore. And this on IMDb, this movie was part of a sketch comedy movie list, and you pull it up, and all these like different sex joke movies, like either Drive-In or whatever. You know, they all were like in the middle of the late 70s where it was just people doing dirty jokes, right? And you don't see that anymore. And I feel like it's kind of missed out. I feel like it's an untapped market. I think what we see I really do. I think what we see nowadays are like sketch comp or spoof movies. Like disaster movie or scary movie where they just take something that's in the pop culture and then they mash it all in together and make fun of it. And I mean, I gotta tell you, it doesn't hold a candle at all to those dirty sex joke movies of the 70s because you're not playing on pop culture, you're playing on culture where sex jokes and stuff like that. Yeah, it is timeless. That said, I will say that the most recent one in this list is the Inappropriate Comedy, which is a comedy about a tablet that has offbeat offensive jokes.
Whose movie that is, don't you?
Yes, that's where I was going. That happened to have been directed, and I think written by one Mr. Vince Offer.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, not Vince.
No, not
yes.
Not,
so after he got
not
after he got his ass kicked from a hooker and his slap chop.
Who hasn't got their
And then way after the underground comedy movie back in 1999, There's the movie that came out this year with Rob Schneider, Michelle Rodriguez, Adrian Brody, and Lindsay Lohan called...
43, right?
No. It's Inappropriate Comedy.
No, yeah, it came out. Adrian Brody's in it. It's a Vince Offer movie, and it's one of those things where he gets a couple big names, sneaks him into the movie, and the rest of the movie's just...
Well, I can't watch it because I actually made a pledge to myself, and Tim knows about my pledge, that after the Adrian Brody Stella commercials that were played during the Super Bowl 2 years ago, I will never watch a movie with him in it again.
but in Inappropriate Comedy, Adrian Brody plays Flirty Harry.
Oh, God.
So, all right, I'm in.
So now that I've brought this show down so low,
that hurts.
John, I've helped you be able to send it off on a really high note. All
right.
Okay. So here we go. So there's this lady, and she's driving her car. And it's kind of in a desolate area out in the countryside. And the road gets really windy, and she's going too fast, and she ends up like sliding right off the road and crashes her car, rolls it a few times. It flips her out of the car, and she lands in this barbed wire fence, and she's hanging upside down. And she's all scratched up and beat down. She's like, oh, my God, I'm lucky I'm alive. And she's like, oh, God. And she looks around, and she's embarrassed because, like, her dress is, like, up over her head. And then after a while, for about an hour or so, she's yelling for help, and finally this old farmhand guy comes along. He comes down there, and he goes, oh, my goodness, there's a huge wreck. And she's like, help me, help me. And he goes up, and he walks slowly up to her, and he looks at her, and he goes, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. And she's like, well, what's that, what? And he's like, this is the second pregnant woman I found in this week. And she said, well, I'm not pregnant. They said, you're not out of that fence yet either. Hi-yo! Yes! Wow. Last track. I was gonna do the dickhead thing, and after I hit the punchline, I was gonna be like, thank you, good night, and like hang up on you guys. You guys would be like, what the fuck just, what is that all about? It's like the Damon Wayne dropping the microphone thing, you know. But,
yeah.
But good choice, Tim. Good choice. You knocked it out of the park on this one.
It was good. I gotta say, toward the end, it was like, I got fatigued. I don't know if I necessarily hated it. I just got fatigued because it was just a constant barrage of dick and fart jokes. And it's like... It was like, but do not fast forward this thing. It is totally worth your time.
It's a barrage. Oh, no.
But you got to strap yourself in. You got to get ready because it will. I got fatigued toward the end. I was just like,
yeah,
I got wiped.
Well, I watched it in parts. I savored it like a fine meal. I took it like courses of it. You know,
like a good room temperature cheese.
Yeah.
You know, as you watch it, you will be asking yourself one question.
I guess we should go out on this then.
I think we should go out on this.
Yeah, I think that this is go out on the song.
I tell you what though, I already have the next movie picked out.
Yeah.
You want to Facebook it or Twitter it?
I'll go ahead and do it. I was gonna have this grandiose like thing, but the theme song is just too overpowering.
Yeah, well, we can go ahead and you can Twitter and Facebook it, and then and we can go from there. We can end out on that.
And you'll be happy to know, and everyone listening in Gonzo Land will be happy to know that it's on YouTube.
Ooh!
Yes, I got this VHS tape recorder thingy like what Tim has so I can do Backfield of Motion, but I'm totally psyching you guys out.
Yeah, I'm Backfield of Motion.
All the Facebooks and the Twitters to find out what you're doing and get your YouTubes ready because it's going to be a party. That's all I'm going
to
say.
And while you're at it, make sure you listen to the first episode of Season 2. So.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Can I feel like
I want to do it. Till a girl start making passes, till I need glasses. Yes, my baby. When I'm feeling low, there you go. X-rated show. Breaking down.
Yeah! All right, until next time.
I just realized the whole song's about him jacking off in an X-rated movie.
Boy!
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to take off, then. I'll talk to you dudes later.
Till next time, don't fast forward.
Exactly. Bye. Bye.
Caught me in the barn. Now you know she didn't come up from behind. She said,
that ain't the way I taught ya. It's a good thing that I caught ya. Don't you know if you don't stop it, you go blind.
Can I do it? Tell me myself. Can I stroke my spoke? Can I fiddle my twiddly day? I wanna do it. Till the girls start making passes, till I need glasses, just let me be. When I'm feeling low,
where you go?
X-rated show.
Where you know?
Down in the front row, here I go.
You'll be blind by the time you count to
one, two, three. Can I do it? Well, I need glasses. Can I stroke my smoke? Can I fiddle my twiddly day? I wanted to do it. Till the girls start making passes, till I need glasses. Just let me be. Papa told man to man, you grow hair upon your hands. If you keep it up, you're gonna lose your mind. Now maybe there's something to it, but it feels so good to do it that when they say,
if you don't stop it, you'll go blind.
I say, can I do it? Well, I need glasses. Can I stroke my spoke? Can I fiddle my twiddly day? I wanted to do it. Till the girls start making passes. Yeah. Till I need glasses. Just let me be.
Do it, do it.
Till I need glasses. Just let me be.
Do it, do it.
Till I need glasses. Won't you let me be? I'm gonna do it.
Do it, do it, do it.
Don't bother me.